In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis
peccatoribus, nunc et in
hora mortis nostrae. Amen.
Cor Maria Immaculatum, in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Today on this second full day of your retreat, at this period, the first period described by St. Louis Quino de Montfort, to comprehend more sobre the grace of God, the Spirit, the true Spirit of the world. And on this fifth meditation, about the Spirit of the world, we want to meditate today, now, about the Spirit of the world in regard to the sixth and the ninth commandment, and ask ourselves in how much we are affected by the drive of the world for the sexual pleasure. As you know, that the world today, the spirit of the world, wants everything to interpret by sexuality. There's nothing whatsoever, nothing so holy, not even the most noble, that would not be taken, pulled down into the dirt. And without rest, the world today seeks, by image and by writing, by word, by film, by music, anything, this lowest inclination of man to incite. However, the disciple of Christ knows that the true love of God can only come from God. And true love, true human love, also only comes from God, and therefore it must wholly and pure. Our Lord says, blessed are the pure of heart, because they will see God. And we should meditate about this theme, not so much from outside the standpoint, but in regard to myself as well. And the Gospel is taken from Gospel of Matthew, first chapter 5, 27 to 13. You have heard that it was said to them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say to you that whosoever shall look on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if thy right eye scandalize thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is expedient for thee that one of thy members should perish, rather than that the whole body be cast into hell. And if thy right hand scandalizes thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is expedient for thee that one of thy members should perish, rather than thy whole body go into hell. And the second is taken from Matthew chapter 22, 29-13. And Jesus answering said to them, you err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they shall neither marry nor be married, but shall be as the angels of God in heaven. And as our main meditation, thoughtful prayer, we take it from the treatise of the true devotion, number 87 until 89. St. Louis Kennedy de Montfort says, it is difficult, considering our weakness and frailty, to preserve in ourselves the grace and treasures we have received from God. Because we have this treasure which is worth more than heaven and earth, put together in frail vessels, that is, in a corruptible body, in a weak and inconstant soul, which a mere nothing disturbs and dejects, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Because the devils, who are skillful thieves, wish to surprise us unawares and to strip us, they watch day and night for the favorable moment. For that end they go round about us unceasingly to devour us and to snatch from us in one moment by a sin all the graces and merits we have gained for many years. Their malice, their experience, their stratagems, and their number ought to make us fear this misfortune immensely, especially when we see how many persons full of grace than we are, richer in virtues, better founded in experience, and far higher, exalted in sanctity, have been surprised, robbed, and unhappily pillaged. How many cedars of Lebanon, how many stars of the firmament, have we not seen fall miserable, and twinkling of on an eye lose all their height and their brightness? Hence comes that sad and courageous change. It was not for want of grace, which is wanting to no man, but it was for want of humility. They thought themselves capable of guarding their own treasures. They trusted in themselves, relied upon themselves. They thought their house secure enough and their covers strong enough to keep the precious treasure of grace. It is because of that scarcely perceptible reliance upon themselves, though all the while it seemed to them that they were relying only on the grace of God, that the most just Lord permitted them to be robbed by leaving them themselves. Alas, if they had but known the admirable devotion which I will unfold presently, they would have confided their treasure to a virgin, powerful and faithful, who would have kept it for them as if it had been her own possession. Nay, you who would have ever taken it as an obligation of justice on herself to preserve it for them. It is difficult to preserve in justice because of the strange corruption of the world. The world is now so corrupt it seems ineffable that religious hearts should be soiled, if not by its mud, at least by its dust, so that it has become a kind of miracle for anyone to remain in the midst of that impetuous torrent without being drawn in by it. In the midst of that stormy sea, without being drawn in it or stripped by the pirates and the corsairs, in the midst of that pestilent air, without being infected by it. It is the virgin alone, faithful, in whom the serpent has never had part, who walks this miracle for those who serve her in that sweet way which I have shortly to unfold the saint. And by this consecration, we truly give her and trust her our justice, the vow of chastity or celibacy, that she preserves it, that we are able to live it day by day, that we, at every moment, that we really think, how, to what degree Our Lady would practice this virtue of purity, she who is the most precious, the most pure vessel, so to speak, of the grace of Almighty God. And you may also read, either for your meditation or as a short spiritual reading, then in the Imitation of Christ from Book 1, Chapter 6. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.